In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone. A special word of welcome to our visitors and our guests. We're so happy that you're here. And we know that many people are traveling during the 4th of July weekend. So if you're traveling and ran into our church, we're so happy to have you. We hope you feel at home here. There was a priest who was really concentrated on his sermon on Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, even before the sun was out. And he was shaving. And as he was shaving, he was so much into what he had to say and into his preparation that he cut his lip in the side of his face. And so when he showed up to church, he had a big Band-Aid, you know, from here to here. And so when he started talking, he sounded something like this. And he said, I'm really sorry because this morning, as I was, you know, shaving, I was so concentrated on my sermon that, you know, I got cut. And I hope it's okay with you all. I'm going to sound a little funny, but I really want to be here with you all. And I just wanted to let you know. Well, the Band-Aid went from here to here, imagine. So everyone thought, great, today's sermon will be short. You know, he's uncomfortable, doesn't feel well. It's hard for him to open and close his mouth. So the sermon will be short. It turns out it was the longest sermon ever. I mean, he went on and on and on. No one could believe it. So at the end of the service, you know, priest is out there greeting everyone. And in every parish, there's always two or three, you know, imprudent people. We have a few here, too. And so one of the imprudent ladies said, well, I got something to tell you, Father. You say you got cut because when you were shaving, you were concentrating on your sermon. I recommend next time you concentrate on your shaving and cut your sermon short. Today, there is so much in the Word of God. In the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, in the Christian Scriptures, the New Testament, that this sermon could go on and on and on. But I've decided to spare you that because we're in the middle of summer. We got a lot of our youth here, Youth Sunday. It's great to have all the youth doing all these things they're doing in the service. And we have the best, listen to me, the best pancake breakfast in the world right after this service. So, see, the people who already had it are the ones applauding, like me. But I'm going to tell you that today's gospel, that passage from Luke, has so much in it. And God's word has so much to say to us today that I believe it can be summarized in something very, very simple and something very, very important. Because ultimately, today's gospel has a lesson for all of us. And I think it can be summarized in this. Travel light. Listen to me. Travel light. Here was the Lord Jesus sending out the 70. Now you notice when the gospel speaks of followers of Jesus and the closest collaborators of the Lord, it uses two numbers. It speaks of the 12, right? The apostles. Then later on after the resurrection, it talks about the 11. But it uses this group, the 70, to speak about a bigger group of followers that were very close to Jesus. They were the ones who went around listening to his sermons. They were the ones who went around witnessing the miracles. They were with him when he was announcing the kingdom. And they were learning from the Lord directly. And they were with him all the time. And today's gospel says that he sent out those 70 and he gave them a list of instructions. You know, don't take this and don't take that and don't take the other. Remember that? Ultimately, he's telling them to travel light. One of my biggest accomplishments in 7 years of marriage is that I have taught my wife a little bit about traveling light. When we first got married and we'd go, like I had to give a conference somewhere, she'd pack up like she was going to Europe for 2 weeks, you know? She'd take these big pieces of luggage. You know, for a priest, it's real easy to get dressed to go to any of these things because, you know, the outside outfit doesn't change, you know? The cleric thing doesn't change. You know, you just wear your suit and you're fine. If you take clean underwear and all that, clean socks, you're safe. But women have to get the dresses and the shoes and the things that match, right? So eventually, I have accomplished that my wife can now travel with a carry-on bag just like me. So now our bags actually look about the same size. And that's one of my big accomplishments in life. I have taught her to travel light. And she says this to people all the time. Interesting thing, her bag is still a little bigger than mine. But yeah, what am I going to do? At the end of the day, Jesus is telling us to travel light. All of the baggage that was present in that gospel, all of that baggage is not just about things and objects. Think about it. The people of Israel had spent 40 years in the desert going toward the promised land. The people of Israel had spent thousands of years waiting for the longed for Savior, the Messiah. They were waiting for salvation. Imagine the amount of baggage that these people had, thinking that now the Savior was among them and trying to understand that the kingdom of God, which Jesus was announcing, was so different than what they expected. There was a lot of baggage, emotional, spiritual, even cultural baggage that they were carrying. And to think that Jesus went to them and said, now you're going to go out. And if they receive you, they receive me. And if they receive you and receive me, they receive the Father that sent me. But if they reject you, they're rejecting the message of God, the message of the kingdom. There's a lot there. I want you to think about your own life today. Because Jesus is calling you and me. He is calling all of us to go out and preach the kingdom. But he's calling us to live the kingdom in freedom and in joy and in peace. So all of the baggage that we carry, the pains from our past, the sufferings, the abuse, the difficulties and struggles that are many, sometimes even the physical illness and the pain that we're experiencing at the present time, the grief that comes with the loss of a loved one, all of that pain, all of that baggage, sometimes we carry it, and we carry it way too far and for too long because we've forgotten that is precisely the message of the kingdom that reminds us and teaches us that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that the Lord already carried the cross to Calvary, that he already shed his blood for your salvation, that he already carried all of your burdens and took them up upon the cross. He carried your sin. He carried whatever the name of your baggage is, and only you know the name of your baggage. Whatever your baggage is, the Lord carried it already. I believe that today's message can be summarized in saying that we need to learn to travel light. Because when we travel light, we're allowing God to be God. We're allowing Jesus to be the Savior of our lives. We are receiving the message of the kingdom. When we allow our lives to be cluttered by things that are not of God, what ends up happening is that we are always heavy laden and we are always burdened and we can't live in the freedom of the children of God. We can't experience the fullness of the kingdom. You notice how Jesus says in this gospel, when you go somewhere, tell them peace be with you. And if there's people of peace there, they will receive your peace. If they don't have peace, they won't receive it. Interesting, huh? Sometimes we live our lives in such a way that we can't experience the peace of God because we haven't allowed ourselves to be free to experience the peace of God. We haven't allowed the burdens and the things. We haven't let go of the things that truly make us free. When we let go of all of those burdens, when we let go of all of that and offer it to the only one that can really carry it, things change. Then we receive the message of the kingdom. And you notice how interesting it is that Jesus sends them out, gives them instructions, and then they come back running. They come back running, filled with joy, because they realized that what he promised them was true. He says, they all come back and say, "Oh Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." And all these good things that they did. And then Jesus responds by saying to them, "Believe me, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. And see, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." What does that mean? As followers of Jesus, we have been given authority through our baptism to put aside the evil, to step on what is evil, to step on the scorpions and the snakes and all of those evil things that may come up in our life. And all of those things that we think overpower us, God has given us authority and power over them in the name of Jesus. We simply have to trust enough to know that God can do all these things. And sometimes we're overwhelmed and burdened by things that we should not be so worried about. You know what the problem is too? We really think that when we worry, by worrying, we're solving a problem. But I've got something to tell you. Every moment you spent worrying is a wasted moment. And I'm going to say it again. Every moment of your life that you spend worrying, it's a wasted moment. Because with worry, you will not solve a single problem. Worry does not bring about solutions. Worry just makes the problem bigger. Worry complicates the problem. Because you know what worry does? Worry winds you up. It winds up your head. The great mystic, Teresa of Avila, she was a Spanish mystic, a great spiritual writer. She used to say that the head was the crazy person in the house. And she used to joke about it, but it's so true. The crazy person in the house, la loca de la casa, the crazy person in the house. Sometimes we allow the worry and the anxiety and the craziness to take over, and all of that just takes away our peace. So when Jesus says to his disciples that they have power over all this evil, I'm telling you, you have power over all this worry. You have power over all of these problems that you think are too big for you. You have power. You have power over every form of evil. Allow God's power to be manifested in you. Allow the power of the kingdom of God, as children of the kingdom of God, allow that power to be manifested in you. It's the power of faith. When Jesus sent out those 70 and he told them, "You're going to encounter all this evil stuff," he didn't tell them, "You're going to go out there alone. Do it on your own. Hey, you know what? Defend yourselves. Do what you need to do." No. He sent them out with power. He sent them out with power from on high. He promised them that he would be with them and that they would not have to worry. Even with all that rejoicing about all the stuff they were able to do in God's name, Jesus says, "You know what? Do not rejoice at this," Jesus says. "Do not rejoice. Rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven." What does it mean? when Jesus says to them, you know, don't rejoice about this stuff that you were able to do, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What is the Lord really saying? The Lord is saying, you are chosen. You are called by God. God knows you by name. Your names are written in heaven because God cares for you. You are His beloved child. God knows what worries you. God knows what troubles you. God knows your pain, physical, spiritual, emotional. God knows what's going on with you. Your job is to turn it over to God. Do not carry burdens that do not belong to you. If you really believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and if you believe that Jesus came to free you from all sin, and if you believe that Jesus came to announce the kingdom, and that you are a member of God's kingdom, then you must trust that God can lift that burden. As painful, as difficult, as problematic, as complicated as it may seem, God can carry and lift that burden. So today, as we gather as people of faith, let's open our minds and our hearts to God's Word in a new way. Let's open our minds and our hearts to God in a way that we're able to trust that all of these things that He promised to His disciples, He promises to us. That indeed, sometimes we feel we are like lambs in the midst of wolves. Every time you flip your phone and you watch the news channels or the news coming in about a new terrorist attack, you know, the killing of some hostages, you know, on the other side of the world, an act of bigotry or racism, which unfortunately are becoming more and more common in our society today. All of these things that you see that are the manifestations of evil, do not allow those things to get you down. But in the name of Jesus, respond to them with faith. And know that no sadness, no evil, nothing that seems to overwhelm us is greater than the power of God. The Lord is calling us. He is calling us to tread on scorpions and on snakes. He is calling us to invoke the power from on high to fight against evil in our world, to build a world of justice, of love, of peace. None of that can happen if Christians spend their time whining. I know too many Christians that are whiners. You know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, the world's a mess. Oh, our youth are all lost. Oh, drugs and violence. Oh, oh. Do you remember in the 1980s, the best decade, you know, in all of history? In the 1980s, if you watch Saturday Night Live, they had a skit called The Whiners. And the Whiner family, they were very popular, the Whiners. I don't know how many you remember the Whiners, anyone? Okay. All two or three of us, yeah. Shows who the old people in the church are. Well, the Whiners, you know, they had a family and they were going to go on vacation. Oh, it's time to go on vacation. They were always not excited about everything. And the mother, you know, Whiner would say, oh, but it's so hot. You know, and son Whiner would say something like, oh, but I don't want to go because I don't want to move from the house. I don't want to get out of the house. They're all whining. You know how many Christians today, they're whiners, and they believe that that's their job in life, to announce bad news, to announce how terrible everything is, because, you know, they're so good and they're so right, and everybody else is so wrong, that they become whiners. Guess what? That's not our mission. Our mission is to proclaim good news. Our mission is to combat the negativity of our world. And you combat all of that negativity, all of that, with the power of God's goodness, with trust, with faith. When we travel light, we let go of all of the negativity in our lives and in the world about us, all of the negativity in the world about us, and we offer it to God, because only God has the answer. only Jesus is the Savior of the world. When I was first ordained 21 years ago, I was, imagine, 25 years old. You come out of seminary after years of philosophy and theology, and you're convinced that you're going to save the world. It's called the Jesus complex. You're going to be like the one that's going to have the answer to everything. And I lived in a rectory with three priests, and one of the priests was an old Irish missionary. He had served in Africa for over 30 years. He was really a man of God and a phenomenal guy. Had a great sense of humor. And he'd see me running around, Father Mullen. He'd see me running around back and forth with the youth and doing things up and down. And he'd look at me and say, Albert, with his brogue, you know, heavy Irish brogue. He went to Africa all those years, but he kept his brogue. He said, Albert, you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to do some of this. Because when you come out of seminary, you really think you're going to do it all yourself. And he would say to me, Albert, remember, be a fool for Christ, but for Christ's sake, don't be a fool. And you know, as I grew in ministry and as I continued kind of learning about what God was asking me to do, I said, you know, those are wise words. We take on way too much. We think we got to solve all those problems in our families, in our work. We got to solve all those problems that are going on in the world and in society. We're going to solve all of our kids' problems because we make the right decisions. God knows we can solve all of our kids' problems, and we can get them to think exactly the way we think, right? You know, when that happens, I like to say to people, you know what? Get off the cross. We need the wood. We take on burdens that are not ours. And ultimately, it's our lack of faith. Today, the Lord is calling us to turn it over to Him. Turn over those worries. Turn over those burdens, those difficulties, those things that seem too great for you. And just let God be God. Let God be God. And travel light. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.